Good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. No place you'd rather be, unless you're a Celtic fan. Hallelujah. Open up my eyes in wonder. Did you catch that line? Who was here last week? Yep. Didn't we have a wonderful sermon last week? Who was here for the Easter sermon? Who listened to it online then? Was anybody here last week? We finished by talking about having a revelation of Jesus, is that right? We sang about opening our eyes to the wonder. And I just get a sense that's where the Holy Spirit wants us to be. I am going to talk on a subject for the next 2 weeks that it's kind of old school, an old school sermon, an old school material, but it's not. It's as relevant then as it is today. Hallelujah. See, I was brought up in a Pentecostal church. They're partially responsible for that. We were used to, and are used to, I haven't stopped getting used to, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, we're living in the realm of the Holy Spirit. And that's why churches who desire God like the way perhaps we do are moving forward in certain things. But one of the things that I want to bring today is simply this. I want us to understand and learn what the glory of God is, as opposed to having an experience or an encounter. Everyone's looking for an encounter or an experience, but it's much more than that, isn't it? It's much more than a reality. It's something for our life. So I want to use one scripture today, or two or three verses in the same scripture, and we're going to just stay with that. So get your spiritual antennas opened up. Hallelujah, if you have those. If you've not, pray for them, and God will give them to you. And let's just see if we can reap something here from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. And we all, hallelujah, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed, hallelujah, into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, hallelujah. That excites me straight away. There is so much that the Word of God says about the glory of God from Genesis right through to Revelation, from beginning to end. And here's what I am sensing and feeling. I am praying, along with our leadership, and believing for every one of us in this room, that this may actually be a season for you and I to seek Him and ask for God for once again to reveal His glory to us. So unconvinced. Moses says, we're going back a wee bit here. Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, show me your glory. Church, we need the glory of God. We need the glory of God. You see, here's what I'm feeling, sensing, and believing. The Lord wants to manifest His glory in such a powerful way through the church. Through the church. But here's the thing. We have to desire His glory. Do you hear this? We have to want His glory. We then have to ask God to bring His glory. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks here about the veil that was on the hearts and the minds of the children of Israel and how that veil was then taken away. So there was a veil on their hearts that actually kept them from seeing the Messiah. Wow. God's own people. God's own people couldn't even see who the Messiah was. So let's read this through again, starting at verse 15. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, hallelujah, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and with the Spirit of the Lord there is freedom. Wow. Amen. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever increasing glory. Oh, did you see that? There's an attitude there that's suggesting the glory keeps on going. It keeps on coming. It keeps on developing. It keeps on moving. Therefore, we are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Amen. So when they talk about reading Moses, they're talking here about reading the books of Moses. We know that's the first five books of the Bible. And as they read scriptures that prophesy here about the Messiah and that give revelation to the heart of God. Amen. But there's a veil. See this veil? This veil is a problem. There's a veil over the hearts of the Jewish people that Paul here is talking about. He is referring back to this. Then it says, but when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, that veil is removed. So how many of us in the room this morning know the Lord Jesus Christ? I can see three hands. That's enough for revival to get going. Hallelujah. We've got three that have seen the Lord. The veil has been removed. When the veil's removed, we're able to see the Messiah so clearly. We're able to recognize that the Messiah is Jesus. He is God in flesh. He's the one who came to reveal and show us the way, show us the truth, show us the life. He is the one. Gabriella sang about it. He is the one. If you're looking for another, you won't find the other here. He is the one here. Jesus Christ is the one. So how do we then, when we hear all these years about the splendor and beauty and glory of God, how do we, as the church today, experience His glory? We see the glory of God's found in His presence. It's not His presence directly, but it's found in His presence. It's when God's presence comes and dwells to a certain degree among the people of God. You see, if the presence of God isn't in the room, would you want to be here? You wouldn't just want to come down and hang out with me, would you? That would be, I know you would, but that's silly. That would be silly to just come and hang out here every Sunday with me. I'd rather meet you at Starbucks or somewhere like that and hang out and have more fun that way. But here, the presence of God comes amongst us. If you look at the Old Testament, it showed up in the Temple of Solomon. Praise God. It's when God's manifest presence was right there. Scripture says He manifested His presence as a pillar of fire by night and a billow of smoke by day that protected the children of Israel in the Exodus. Do you want to know something? The pillar of fire and the billow of smoke are still here. We just have stopped looking for them. And this is partially why God has brought us back here, to open our eyes up to the beauty and majesty and splendor and wonder of the living God and His glory. Hallelujah. You see, God's glory, praise God, manifests itself in a number of different ways. But it's when His presence, it's when the presence of God, it's when the very essence or substance of heaven comes down, invades our space so much that we can contact that, or we can connect with that, we can tangibly touch that, and when we get to that place, it impacts us, it affects us, and it changes us forever. Praise God. So much so. Now, this is where you have to be careful. You see, when the glory of God comes, you can actually hear it. It's like a rustle in the mulberry tree, isn't it? It's like wind blowing through the land. We think it's just the wind, but God is trying to say, we hear it. We can almost touch it, feel it, get hold of it. We're almost able to be in rapture and caught up in the very presence of God. I love to be caught up in the presence of God. My joy comes from being in His presence. That's where it is. That's where it starts. That's where it finishes. All the days of my life, it's when His tangible presence is so real, we can actually see it with our natural senses. So how then, working back to this thing, so Pastor Debbie's partially responsible for this today. She started the Emmaus Road last week. It's when we can actually see the glory of God. Because the problem has been for the church for decade upon decade. God has been manifesting Himself. God's glory has been coming in our churches, in our lives, and we've missed it. We've missed it. So how do we see it when the God of glory or God's glory shows up? Again, there's a number of things that are going to happen when it all kicks off. When it all gets going, when God moves in power. See, let me just run through a few things for you today. This is a little bit of an educational part for some, but maybe all of you know this stuff already. Therefore, I'm just blessing myself in what I'm saying today. When God's glory shows up, there are miracles that are going to occur. Did you catch that? We used to sing, He's a miracle working God. He's a miracle working God. He's a wonder. He's a miracle. He's a miracle working God. We're going to bring those old songs back. Because when we sing in faith, things happen. When we sing about Him, things happen. See the moment sometimes the worship shifts from a little bit of us to Jesus at that final song, my heart starts to go absolutely bonkers. It goes absolutely crazy when we're focused on Jesus Christ. Miracles will occur. There's a change in the natural order of things. We see things like water standing up. Oh. We see things, the water standing up. We see people going over in dry land. We see those kind of things. Like when the Red Sea opened or when the Jordan River opened, that's the glory of God manifesting itself before us. The natural elements of the world begin almost to rearrange themselves, and we see miracles amongst us when the glory of God shows up. Church, let us not forsake praying for miracles so we can see the manifest power and glory of God come in our midst and we can see it before our very eyes. James chapter 4, 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. I think we're scared sometimes in case the things we ask for don't happen. Well, maybe if we ask, they will. Praise God and glory to God. Listen, when we see the glory of God, you know what happens? There's an abundance. So we sometimes see people with a kind of poverty mentality that God can't do it well. There's a song we used to sing that says, God can do it again and again and again. He's the same God today as He always has been. Yesterday and forever, He's always the same. There's no reason to doubt God can do it again. I'm in a singing mood. Just mark these songs down, Victoria. We're doing them next week. Don't worry about that. There's an abundance. When the glory of God shows up, there's always provision. Always, 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 always provision. I've had this conversation week after week after week after week about Christians complaining and moaning and groaning about the state of the country, about the price of gas, about the price of fuel, about the price of their messages, but they have an abundance in God. He is the God of the abundance, and He will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Not according to my riches, according to His riches in glory. We can see this abundance in Luke chapter 5, Pastor, it's right there. Peter's out fishing, God bless Peter. He had a tough time of it in the Bible, tough time personally, tough time with the Master. And they'd fished all night and they'd caught absolutely zilch. Nothing. Zero, naught. And Jesus came. Hallelujah. How many are glad Jesus showed up? Praise God and glory to God. And He says, He's used this line, launch out into the deep. That's another sermon for another time. Launch out into the deep. You see, sometimes to get your abundance, you have to step out. Sometimes you got to take a wee risk to get what you're asking God for. He wants to see what's in you. He wants to see what you're made up of, what you look like from the inside out. He says, cast the net on the other side, and there was an abundance, a great haul of fish. It says in that passage, God's glory was manifest. So church, there is an abundance that happens when the glory of God shows up. Why am I talking about that? Well, let me tell you this. We need the glory of God here, because we want in our church, in this place, to see the abundance of God on every single ministry. We want to see it in people's lives. We want to see it in people's finances and all that is needed. We need to see the glory of God. And I happen to believe, and maybe I'm going out on a limb here, I happen to believe that God is always looking to give His people more. And you know what? The more you give, well, we serve a God who always wants to give us more and more and more, but not perhaps in the way we think. He's wonderful because He wants to give us things that change us from the inside out. He wants to give us more grace. He wants to give us more peace. He wants to give us more joy. He wants to give us more blessings. Why? So that we can be a people that bless our community. We can be a people that bless our nation. God is always a God of the more. So abundance comes when the glory of God shows up. And then when the glory of God shows up, hey, listen to this. Glory to God. Healings happen. Amen. Healings happen. How are you, James? How are you, Iris? How are you doing, George? Healings happen. When the power of God shows up, when the glory of God shows up, healings take place. In John chapter 9, there was a blind man born blind from birth. And the people were asking if this was a sin this man committed or his family. And Jesus says, no, all of this happened for the glory of God. It all happened for the glory of God. That moment when that man was healed and saw, there's a theme flowing through this, saw. It was all for that moment, for the glory of God. So church, when the glory of God shows up, there is healings. Not there might be healings. There will be healings. There shall be healings by faith in Jesus Christ. Now we get reports every single week of people who need to be healed. Every single week, your phone pings, you get a text, you get an email, you get something coming through. Why? Because this world is full of sickness and people become unwell. Often our prayer meetings sometimes feel like a list of people who are ill or unwell, and that's fine. That's why we gather at our prayer meeting, to pray that God will restore them and God will heal them. They are needing a miracle working touch from God. So church, we need the glory of God to show up, so that when we call upon His name and God's glory shows up, without a shadow of a doubt, bodies are restored. Bodies are healed. The dead in Christ, oh, shall rise. Am I going too far? I want to just touch this one, really. Just touching this one. When the God of glory shows up, there's actually peace for our minds. Are you hearing this? We sometimes don't hear that one. There's peace for our minds, and there's also rest for our bodies. When His glory shows up, sometimes He's saying, pastors, sit down, breathe, take a break, enjoy me, and let His glory just wash over your entire life. Church, when the glory of God shows up, hey, it gets deeper as we go. There is a revelation of God's holiness. We get a revelation of His otherness because God is holiness. He's not holy. He is holiness. He is separated. God is not like the things of this world. He's nothing like the things of this world. Moses, God bless him. Moses stood before a burning bush, and Scripture says the bush was not consumed. That was the glory of God right there in manifestation before the eyes of this man. He could see it with his eyes. He could hear it coming from the bush with his voice. God's glory showed up, and Moses had a clear sight, clear vision of who God was. Who God was. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and what filled the temple? The train of the glory filled the temple. And we see the holiness of God at that very moment. And it should cause us to cry out as Isaiah cried out, woe am I, a man of unclean lips. I need a coal from off the altar. Why? Because I have just seen the Lord. And when we see His holiness, some things can make us feel quite unclean. So we need that call, that purification, that purging for our own lives to move on. And when we see the Lord, hallelujah, let me just say that again. When we see the Lord, I mean when we really see the Lord, not just talk about Him or think about Him or read about Him. When we see the Lord, that actual holiness of God causes you and I to recognize the places of brokenness in us. You hear this? Brokenness in us that we need God to now come and cover. To come and cover and heal and love upon us, because at times in our life, we all go through this brokenness and we all need this recovery to be taking place. Now, when the glory of God shows up, here's something else. There is not just protection, but there is supernatural protection. Amen. Not just protection, but supernatural protection. I would go as far to say, we need the protection of the Lord upon us. Day and night upon our families, because there's so many things in our world today that could go wrong. And I believe it is because of the glory of God that we are protected in so many ways from dangers, both seen and the dangers that are unseen. And so we need the glory of God for our supernatural protection. Then when the glory of God shows up, our enemies are destroyed. They're under our feet in Jesus' name. Our enemies are absolutely obliterated. The Israelites look back across the the waters there and looked back and saw the Egyptians coming and the waters were closed behind them. When they were marching across Canaan's land, the glory of God was with Joshua and they're able to defeat all their enemies and go in and possess the land so they could take that step and once again claim their rightful inheritance. Jesus, say Jesus. Jesus broke the back of the principalities and powers when he got up from the dead on the third day. And thank God we heard last week, he's alive forevermore. But we have to understand this. We must co-labor with him in order to take back all that has been taken from us and to enforce the decree of God's word directly in the face of the enemy. And that sometimes requires a forceful forward advance. So church, we have to get in the front foot. We have to get in the front foot. Matthew 11 says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent must take it by force. Listen, the devil's not just going to give it back to you. Are you hearing this? The devil's not just going to hand it back to you in a plate all that's been taken from you. He's not just going to give you your land back, your family back, your honor back, your integrity back, your joy back. He's not just going to give it to you in a plate. But when the glory of God comes, we have to stand up and fight. And we have to demand it. We have to demand from our enemy, I'm taking it back. I'm taking this back. You've held on to this for long enough. I'm now taking it back. It's mine. God gave it to me. You stole it from me. You're under my foot. Jesus broke the back of the principalities and powers of this dark world. And today, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever you have that you think's yours, it's mine. I demand it now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name. Then when the glory of God shows up, and we love this one, people are saved and led to repentance. Hallelujah. People are saved and led to repentance. We often think about the prodigal son. He's on his way home. He's already deciding in his mind how he's going to repent when he gets home. But when he got home and experienced the lavish love of the Father, he says, oh, Dad. Oh, Dad, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. Dearly beloved, listen to me today. When we experience that unconditional love of God, it causes you to repent and to turn your thoughts from your ways that are contrary to the teachings of who is God, because you really begin to see and recognize just how much you are loved by Jesus. Just how much he loves you. Let's say one more thing here. And this is, I believe, where we need to be more forthright. Because when God's glory is revealed to us, it requires a deeper commitment. Do you hear this? It requires a deeper commitment. What is that commitment? It's a commitment of living a sanctified life and the call to serve. Sanctified and called to serve. Our call to serve is confirmed when the glory of God shows up. We become confirmed in who we are. Now you think about Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And as he wrestled with the glory of God, he actually wrestled with God himself. Hallelujah. He was touched and his life was forever changed. He was separated and sanctified for his purpose. He was no longer Jacob, but he was now called or recalled Israel. So when you get into the presence, power room of God, in and around the glory of God, and begin to wrestle with the glory of God, there's every possibility your identity may be changed. Your identity might be changed. Now you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hallelujah. When they were in the fiery furnace, the glory of God was where? It was right there with them, right at the heart of the heat of the fire, in the fiery furnace. And as they are in the midst of the furnace, scripture says they were not touched, hallelujah. They were not touched. They were protected in that fire by the glory of God. But I want to hear something else. In that moment, they were also confirmed in their commitment because they would not bow down. Hallelujah. They would not compromise. Hear this. They were protected. They weren't protected naturally. They were protected supernaturally. They were confirmed. They were affirmed. And they were protected. So right in that heat of that fire, there was protection. It is not the natural protection that this world offers us. Because the king stood back at that moment and said, did we not put three men in the fire? Well, how come I can see a fourth person? You put three in, but now I see four. So not only was the glory of God in the fire with them, but Jesus was in there with them also, hallelujah. How much more protection do you need? It's not a protection this world knows. It's in the heavenlies. It's when heaven is fighting for us, fighting for you and I. In our darkest moment, our most difficult day, is when God is fighting on our behalf. There was protection, but I love this part of this story. There was also confirmation in this whole experience that the glory of God was upon them and with them, that helped them to understand completely who they now were in Christ Jesus. And we could go on in the same story and talk about a character called Daniel, but we'll move on because there's something else I want to say. The glory of God, isn't it? Just blows you apart. We long for the mist. Ooh, imagine that, the mist just settled under your seats and you could see it. We're praying for it. We're praying for it. Because if we're looking at the positive side, we have to look at the other side of the glory of God. See, there's two sides to every story, isn't there? Two sides to everything. There's some things that happen on the other side, when God's glory shows up. See, when the glory of God shows up, it can cause rebellion. Are you hearing this? It can cause rebellion. It can cause a spirit of insanity, because it did come upon Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Because he would not surrender himself to the very glory of God. Pharaoh also saw the glory of God, but what did it do to Pharaoh? It hardened his heart. It hardened his heart. He tried to then imitate the glory of God by using his own staff magicians. See, when the glory of God shows up, sometimes it will produce bitterness. Sometimes it will produce anger. Sometimes it will produce resentment. I actually believe that's what happened with Saul when they sang the songs, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. You see, the glory of God was upon David's life as he killed Goliath and performed all the exploits that he did under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so Saul saw the glory of God, and it caused him to become resentful. It caused him to become angry. It caused him to become bitter. Why? Why? Because the veil had not yet been removed from his eyes. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And he couldn't really understand that what was happening with David was a God thing. It was a good thing, and it was a God thing. And then when the glory of God shows up, it can bring some persecution to us. can bring persecution our way. The early church saw the glory of God in the upper room when the Spirit of God showed up on the day of Pentecost. And then Peter, praise God for Peter, he stood up and he began to preach under the power of God. And right there upon the church, it says the glory of God was seen upon the church. And as a result, they entered into a time of persecution. See, when the glory of God shows up, and this is one for us where we are going to be very careful. There's a temptation when the glory of God shows up to build religious monuments and stop moving. We are seeing this all over the world. Men building greater sanctuaries, larger sanctuaries, monuments to themselves rather than churches for people to come and authentically and genuinely worship God. God's presence never stops moving. I'll say that again. The presence of God never stops moving. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was transfigured before Elijah and Moses, and they were on the mountain, and Peter's right there with them, and he wanted to build a booth and just wanted to stay there. He wanted to camp out there. And Jesus said, no, we're not going to build a tabernacle here. We're not going to stay here. We're not going to camp on this mountain. Why? Because God is always on the move. God is always moving. Remember, the cloud of glory kept moving. The pillar of fire kept moving. Why? Because we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere as a people. We're going somewhere as a church. And so God's always moving. But there's a temptation when the glory shows up. And I believe this is what's happened in the past. When great moves of God have taken place, I believe this is partially what's happened and why they've stopped, why the season's come to an end. Because there's a temptation when all this happens that we try to own it. We try to own it. We try to put some kind of shelter round about it. We try to kind of fit it in a box and keep it and maintain it and look after it for ourselves. We kind of think we can somehow hold on to it. But understand, that's not what we're supposed to do. That is not what we're supposed to do. Scripture says we're supposed to be changed by this glory, and we're supposed to begin to reflect the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the goal. The glory of God is all about transformation. It's the transforming power of the glory of God. Let's read that again. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, from glory to glory. So literally what's supposed to happen is when we come in contact with the glory of God, we are supposed to be changed, transformed. From the inside out, never to be the same again. When the glory of God comes, there's a transformation of our character. There's a transformation of our nature. There's a transformation of the person who we once were. So much so that we begin to shine with the glory of Almighty God. So that when people really have a good look at us, they should not just see the reflection of who we are, but they should see the glory of God in our lives. Praise God. They should see the face of Jesus as we walk the earth. Truth. So we need the glory of God in our lives. Listen to this. I don't ever want people to look at me or us and say, "Oh, they are the religious people. Hallelujah." We want people to look at us and say, "What's different? What's different? What's different?" with all that's going on in their life right now, how can they still be full of peace? With all that's come against them, how can they still have this forgiveness? See, when we portray Jesus, we do everything that's contrary to the world, and that's hard. But the glory of God changes us. There are people who have been transformed by God's power, and they're now out there transforming their community, transforming their church, transforming their nation. There's some who are changing the world. And dearly beloved, we must. It's imperative. We must be reflectors of the glory of God as we move out into this world. And he takes us from faith to faith and from glory onto glory. The worship team, you guys can come back wherever you are. Would you stand with me today? Well, there you are. Listen, guys, we're not going to be a church that stays camped on the mountain. And we're not going to be a church that says, oh, that meeting was so great. That service, that worship, that sermon, that was so great. I just want to stay here. I don't want to move. I just want to hang out here. I want to stay here. Just want to stay with that meeting. Well, God would say no to that. Because this meeting is gone tomorrow. And we hope we've benefited from it, but it's gone. And God's got another meeting for us tomorrow. And God's got another meeting for us the day after. And I'm not talking about church services. I hope you know that. I'm talking about God wants to meet you. Meet with you on a day-to-day basis. And I believe he's saying to some people, come, I want to meet with you today. But here's the thing. If we get into that place of meeting with the Lord on a regular basis, we will find we are changed more and more and more and more. Sunday by Sunday won't do it. Sunday by Sunday won't do it. That's why we have some marvelous things like prayer meetings on Monday night. That's why we have wonderful things like Abide on Wednesday morning. That's why we have men's meetings starting back in a couple of weeks. That's why we have major events like Women to Women taking place in the church. Sunday by Sunday, we'll just give you a little bit of a fix, shoot up a little bit in the Holy Ghost. But come Tuesday, it wears off. If you really want to be a reflector of the image and glory of God, we have to be meeting Jesus day by day by day by day. And if you do that, people will start to see something incredibly different about your lives and our lives. Sunday Christianity won't get us by. That's why we encourage, we don't force, we encourage people to get involved, to get connected, to tap in. Because we believe the more time you spend in the presence of God, the more like him you'll actually become. So we encourage you in that area. If you've been here just for a wee time with us and just finding your way, tap in. And when we come together as a corporate, God shows up and wonderful things happen. But I tell you something else. Tomorrow, when you get up, make sure you have a meeting with God. Before you leave the house, pray with him, meet with him, talk with him. Tell him your desire is to do something for him today. Tell him you need his glory today. You desire his glory today. You want his glory today. So let's pray. Father, we commit this to you. We honor you, we bless you, we praise you, we worship you. We revere you today, God. To be in your presence, to sit at your feet, there's no place, Lord. no other place we would choose to be. We long for you, Lord. And I pray as we seek the face of God, and as we get hungry and thirsty for righteousness, as we get hungry and thirsty to make a deeper commitment to God, we would come to that place of recognizing that who we are in Christ, what our identity is, what we're supposed to do, who we're supposed to look like, not like ourselves, but like Christ. So as we just respond for a few minutes and worship, Lord, may this word by the Holy Spirit just wash over us today. We pray for completeness and wholeness in your house, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Remain standing.